So now, as a composer, your job is, of course, to write music. But do you also use silence as a composing tool?
Absolutely. I think you use silence. That really comes in on the spotting, when you're spotting a film. And spotting is when you're at the very beginning of the film, when you're sitting with the director, and you're going through the film and talking about, are we going to have music here? Are we not going to have music here? And that's when you start to learn about the world of the film and the logic of the film and the sensibilities of the director. Silence is not used nearly as much now as it used to be. I mean, you look at films from the 70s, and the silence is beautiful. I mean, a perfect example is like the opening of Once Upon a Time in the West.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of my favorite movies, and I highly recommend anybody who hasn't seen it to go see it. It's the first 10 minutes of the film. There's no dialogue. It's five guys waiting for a train, four or five guys waiting for a train, and there's so much tension, and it's all done through sound. It's done through these, one cowboy is sitting there letting this water drip onto his hat, the brim of his hat. There's a squeak of something's blowing in the wind, and squeaking. And there's just all these little sounds, and you're just so like, you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And then the train comes, you know, and the train leaves. No, the guy doesn't get off, and the train leaves. And then there's Yul Brynner, and then the music comes in
mm-hmm.
with the Man on the Harmonica, the Man with the Harmonica theme by Morricone, which is just, you know, fantastic. But that opening of the film, and I just say to myself, God, so few films just, you know, first have the ability, you know, they don't let them be that slow anymore. I think Brokeback Mountain was one of the slow, you know, had that kind of slowness, which was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, silence, no, we don't use that much silence nearly as much. I mean, look how much music films have now, you know, 120 minutes, you know, of music, 100 minutes of music in a film. It's common now for these big movies. Silence is wonderful. When you can get away with it, but our sensibilities have changed, and we're really in a culture of like, it's a rarity now to let something go.
So, how would a score that you wrote differ from one you wrote, let's say, 10 years ago?
I'm more confident now. I mean, 10 years ago when I was starting and doing comedy, I struggled a lot finding tone. I would do a lot of rewrites, and it would be a lot of more process of discovery. Whereas now, when I get a project, I have a pretty good idea of where I might not have all the answers, but I kind of know the ballpark. And generally, when I start, I'm in the ballpark. Whereas 10 years ago, I'd be trying all different kinds of ways to do a scene, you know, and the director would look at it and say, "You're killing my movie." And I'd be like, "You're right. You know, oh my God. Okay, let me try this again. Okay, I'll do it better next time." You know what I mean? So I come into a film with a little bit more confidence, although. Having said that, I still, even to this day, I start a film and I do have a feeling of like, oh my God, I feel like it's the first time. It's weird. So it's kind of like both. Because I do still have like, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to do this scene. Every film I do, I've been doing this for 10 years and yeah, I've got like over 20 films under my belt. But every film I do, there's still something new that I hadn't done before. There's always new problems to solve. So I guess I feel more confident. I know I'm going to... 10 years ago, okay, this is... 10 years ago, I wouldn't sleep out of just fear that I'm not going to finish. With eight heads in a duffel bag, I had 6 weeks to do a full orchestral score, and I freaked out. I was so scared, and the fear... kept me awake. I would give myself 5 hours of sleep a night and 7 hours on Sunday, and I did that for 6 weeks straight because I was just so scared.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't have that fear. I don't have that fear anymore. And if it's really late, I'll just fall asleep. I'll fall asleep in front of my computer. I'll listen back to a cue and I'll close my eyes and I'll start the cue at bar one and I'll open my eyes and it's like bar 300 and I realize, oh, I must have dozed off.
Okay, now you mentioned that losing sleep on eight heads in a duffel bag. How often does a score affect you physically?
It affects us immensely, and it affects us just as much. Haskell Wexler who came out with that film Who Needs Sleep? Are you familiar?
Somewhat.
Yes. Documentary, I believe it was Haskell, just about the working conditions that crew members have, and just the crazy hours that they put. And because some people have died driving back from location because mm-hmm. they're putting in these long days and they fall asleep at the wheel and they kill themselves. And so he was wanting to raise the consciousness and kind of just saying, hey, you guys, these work conditions are ridiculous. Yeah, they're getting paid golden time and they're getting paid really well for it, but they're putting their lives at risk.
Yeah.
Now, as composers, well, we work at home for the most part or in our studio, so we don't have that kind of thing. But, I mean, my family sometimes, they get put on hold. My son, and I was talking to John King about this, with the other composer, and he's also the producer as well of the soundtrack album for Pick of Destiny. And we were sharing stories just how, our sons, my son's older than his, but it gets really hard. And when my son was younger, he'd get really angry with me, and he wouldn't understand because dad's available, and then all of a sudden, I'm not available because I'm working to make this deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been talking to friends about it and kind of just saying, these working conditions, it's pretty extreme. It doesn't have to be like this. Some composers are very good about saying, I'm working from 9 to 5, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us don't do that. I'm not fast enough. I'm not blessed with a lot of speed as far as writing, so I put in crazy hours. But it would be nice if we had a union, like we used to have, to kind of just put limits on producers, saying you cannot ask this of your composer. Not only so that they budget proper time, so as composers, we're always the ones at the end of the project who, if they've run out of money, it affects our budget because we're at the end of the line, so they can take out a sound and music. So if they've gone over $40,000 in catering, for the actors, that can come out of our budget. You know what I mean?
Right.
And if they've gone overtime, but they still need to make their date, that comes out of we're having to do it. So we've really been have become the big giant. We constantly pull rabbits out of a hat. We're magicians. We come out with these. It's amazing the gorgeous music that has gotten written under these really tight deadlines. And a lot of, mediocre music gets written, too, under these deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
I went on a rant. What are you asking about? You're asking.
Well, I was asking about...
Physically,
Physically, yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that much sleep. So that's I don't get that much sleep. My family doesn't see me as much as I'd like to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be nice if we were able to put some limits on it. It really has to come. Some people are really good. I mean, Danny Elfman, I've heard, says, I can write 2 minutes a day. So when I get a film, if I do 2 minutes a day, that's how much time I need. Now, I'm sure he bends that, and I'm sure he makes things work in other ways if he has to do more. But
right.
I guess it needs us to be really clear about setting our own limits. But if I set my limits really hard, I might just not get a gig.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little different. I mean, Danny can just say, no, sorry, you can get somebody else to do it.
Exactly.
And he's not going to lose any sleep over it.
Okay. So what does the future hold for you?
Time with my family. I'm finishing
good.
Up right now. I'm finishing up right after the Tenacious D film. I went on a quick vacation with my family and then came back, and I'm doing this ABC Family Channel film called Christmas Do-Over with Jay Moore. And it's a cute Groundhog Day type family Christmas time film, and it's what if Christmas was every day, and he's spending Christmas every day with his ex-in-laws.
Yeah.
With his ex-wife and his son. He was just going to go there, drop off presents. It ends up being that he spends every day, and he's trying to figure out how to get out of this hell, and that's fun. And then after that, I'm going to spend time with my family, maybe start looking for more work, but take a little time off.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Robert.
I appreciate the time you've given to me today and the honesty. Affecting you, how the music affects you. I really appreciate that.
Sure, my pleasure.
And you have yourself a good day.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.